And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin. Rabbi, are you with me?
How are you, Ilan?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Baruch Hashem. Thank God.
So Parashat Maaseh.
Parashat Maaseh. We read actually something very, very fascinating, something very interesting in regards to this big Torah portion. Because we see at the end of the book of Numbers, which is going to be this week's Torah portion, which is the last book of the Numbers, we read about the cities of refuge. And there were six of these cities in the land in the land of Israel, where a person who killed someone out of negligence, where he could find a refuge from avenging relatives. In other words, he was able to then go there and find a safe haven and be safe. And if the family members or anyone else found him outside of these cities, they could kill him. So, for example, if let's say he was on top of the tree, and when he was on top of the tree, he was cutting something, and then that axe or whatever fell and killed someone, obviously that wasn't an intentional murder, he would then be able to run to the city of refuge, where he would be able to stay there and and survive until the time came that he could go free. And we'll talk about that in a second. When was the time that he was able to go free and be a free man again, not have to worry about it. You know, they tell a little story of a person that he was boasting that he was such a good citizen. He was very refined. He was disciplined. He had a very, very, disciplined lifestyle.
Yeah.
He says, no, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't gamble, he doesn't cheat on his wife. He's early to bed, and in the morning, he gets early to rise. He works hard all day, and he attends religious services faithfully. So obviously a normal person would think, wow, that's very impressive. Then this person added, and he says, I've been like this for the last 5 years. But just wait until they let me out of this place. You know, prisons sometimes are not really part of the judicial system. There were occasions when, individuals would have their freedom of movement, of speech, and everything what they would do. It was a little bit curtailed.
Yeah.
And one such an example of this was the city of refuge, which we just discussed.
Arei Miklat.
Correct, Arei Miklat. It's, where a person was guilty of manslaughter, in other words, unintentional murder, and as we discussed, the perpetrator would then flee to one of these specially designed cities throughout the biblical land of Israel, where he was given the safe haven, and he wasn't able to then be killed by anyone or touched anyone that was upset and mad at him. And the Torah tells us that his term of exile would end with the death of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. So when the high priest would die, he then would be able to go free, and no one would be able to touch him, no one would be able to do anything to him. And the Talmud tells us a very, very interesting practice that developed, that the mother of the Kohen Gadol, at the time that this person would be in the city of refuge, would make a point of bringing gifts of food to those exiles, in other words, the extended family, so they should not pray, or even the people specifically more, I'm sorry, even the people specifically more in the city of refuge, that she would bring them food, so they should not pray from the early death of her son, the Kohen Gadol. Because if they would do that, they would pray hard that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, should die, and God then kills that person based on their prayers, they would go free. So the mother didn't really want that. The mother wanted that the son should stay living for as long as possible, and would then go and bring them bribery, if you want to say, of food that, that they should be happy and they shouldn't pray for him. Now, obviously this is a very, very strange thing, because here we have a man who, even though he's not a murderer, However, he's still not entirely innocent based on his negligence. And the rabbis teach that God does not allow misfortune to befall the righteous. Because if this person caused the loss of life, we can safely assume that he's less than righteous. He might not be the most righteous person, but he's a little less. And opposite him stands who? The high priest of Israel. And obviously, arguably, he's probably the holiest Jew alive. And of the entire nation, he alone, the Kohen Gadol, has a great responsibility of entering into the Holy Temple, not only the Holy Temple, the Holies of Holies, and only one time a year, which is on Yom Kippur. Now, do we really have a reason to fear that the person, through his prayers, is able to really have such a negative effect, on the high priest? How is it such a possible thing? To the extent that the Kohen Gadol may die because of his prayers. And his poor mother has to go and schlep food parcels to the distant cities to soften up the prisoner. So he should go easy, you know, if you want to say this for a lighter term, he should go easy on his prayers so the holy man should still stay alive.
Yeah.
This does not make sense. How is it possible that this person is not, a murderer, but he's not the most innocent person, based on the Torah, because negligence also has some effect of the person. And based on this is, his prayer can bring down the most holy person in the world. How's that possible? It's brought down in many places. This is the power of prayer. The prayer of any individual, whether you be a righteous person, a noble person, an ordinary person, even a sinful person. And it's so important, the power of prayer, that a person that prays so much or prays a little bit, that he has this connection between him and God, that's a phenomenal connection. And obviously, of course, there's no guarantee that every time that you're going to pray that you're always going to see a miracle happening right away. You know, God does listen to our prayers every single time we pray, but it's not guaranteed that we're going to see a miracle happening every time. Because if you would, I would imagine probably shul synagogues around the world would be overflowing daily. However, we do still believe in the power of prayer. And even though, ideally, we pray in Hebrew, you know, with the congregation, with 10 people, and the most important ingredient of our prayers is to be very, very sincere. God wants the heart. And the language and the settings are secondary to the most important thing is what, which is the prayer. And nothing can be more genuine than a tear shed in prayer. In other words, that even though, yes, it is established we should pray with 10 people. Yes, it is established we should pray in Hebrew. But that is not the most important thing of when we're praying. The actual most important aspect is the actual prayer.
Yeah.
Whether we do the prayer in English, whether we do the prayer in Russian, whether we do the prayer in Spanish, whether we do it at home, whether we do it at the synagogue, that makes no difference. Yes, it's better to do those other criteria in prayers in Hebrew and in the synagogue, but that doesn't take away from the greatness of prayer. And that's what we can learn something so important from this week's Torah portion. It's not as where you're praying or what you're praying, the most important thing is that we're praying out of sincerity. We're praying with all our heart. And based on that, we hope that all our prayers will be answered by God. And that's one of the things is that we see that the mother of the Kohen Gadol understood that the power of prayer is so powerful and is so amazing that she was scared that they would daven so hard that her son, the high priest, the holiest man to alive, that he would die because of prayer, that they wanted to die so this person can then go free. So it's just so important that we can see how much the importance of prayer is, whether we are able to go to the synagogue, whether we're only able to do it at home. The main thing is, don't worry about where you're going. Don't worry about what you're saying, what language. The most important thing is, do it. Say it and pray with sincerity. Then everything comes true, and God obviously then helps us with everything that we need.
Rabbi, thank you.
No problem.
It's a very nice parasha.
Yes, beautiful parasha. Beautiful parasha. So,
services at the Shaarei Tzedek.
Services at Shaarei Tzedek is 7:30 Friday evening and Shabbat morning at 9 o'clock. And like I was telling you earlier, I'm so happy that we were able to touch base, you know, on this week's Torah portion because it's such an important Torah. Even though I'm not in Windsor, I'm on the vacation in Charlotte, North Carolina, but the importance of learning Torah doesn't go away just because of you know, vacation. And I'm happy that you called.
Oh, thank you for letting me call.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
So, Rabbi, I hope to have you next week on the show.
God willing.
With God's willing, yeah. And Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Enjoy. Bye. Have a great week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.